Welcome to The Kitchen Table, a conversation about faith, music, and culture. Join Shine.fm's ministry director, Brian McIntyre Utter, and his 18-year-old son, Jake, around the table for this week's chat.
Welcome back to The Kitchen Table. We are a father-son podcast, and we happen each and every week where we just get together and discuss some faith stuff, some music stuff, and some culture stuff. I'm Brian.
And I'm Jake.
And thanks for tuning in. Now, again, the reason why we started this podcast, Jake is starting college tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sort of started already. You've moved in and everything.
Yeah.
Classes start tomorrow as we record this. Someone told me years ago, hey, don't blink. It goes by quick. And I blinked, and now he's off to college. Now, fortunately, college for him is just about 4 miles from my house, and we see each other every day because I actually work for the college. So we're able to continue to do this podcast for you and have these faith conversations. And that's what it's all about. It's having faith conversations where we discuss different questions that maybe your teenagers or your young adult children might have. And as a parent, our number one ministry on the planet, I believe, as parents, is to disciple our children. Yeah, okay, raising your children, yes, but a big part of raising your children is actually disciple them. So we have these conversations each and every week where we discuss a faith question.
Yep.
Now, this week, I actually was given this faith question by a college student who has a friend who is in the military. They went to high school together. Now this friend's in the military. And this person in the military is a Christian and is struggling in the military.
It's a hard place to...
It is, absolutely. And so they're in the Air Force. He has lots of friends that call themselves Christian, but they don't act the way he expects Christians to act. And so he's kind of struggling with that. But the question was, how do you believe in God when you can't feel him?
That's a loaded question. Wow.
Well, not loaded, but really,
it's a good question. We always have our times of doubt, not doubting God's like power, but just, is he really there? I mean, I know I've had these doubts and just wondering if God is really there. Like, how do we believe in something that we can't see or he doesn't really verbally talk to us. He talks to us in ways of love and of just... through people.
Well, when you come to Christ, you feel good. It's a mountaintop experience. You feel joy.
It's a Christian high.
That's
what we call it.
Is that what it is?
That's the young term.
Or a time of crisis where you knew that God came through for you. You actually really felt like he came through for you. Those are the good things. Your heart is filled to overflowing when you're inspired by reading something in scripture, or you've gone to a conference, or you've been through a special service or a youth event, and you're at that Christian high, as you just mentioned it. Now, however, we don't always stay at that high place.
You had to limit yourself right there.
What?
Because you didn't want to say you didn't want to stay high.
You crash, okay? And so... there are times when you go through things and you don't feel the presence of God.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's happening to this young man in the Air Force. He's not feeling God.
Yeah.
Now, here, the other question that he asked in follow-up to this, what can you do to try to believe harder in God, if that actually is the solution? That's not the solution either.
Yeah.
There are things you can do, of course, to make sure that you're walking in the way of holiness, but there's really not things you can try harder to believe. It's just faith, and faith, there is no gauge in, I'm gonna do this because I want to believe harder. There's not a scale that measures that kind of thing, if that makes sense. You're trying to do all you can. Your heart craves the presence of God, and you're just not feeling it. Your head may believe in God, but in your heart, you're not feeling it. And you want to hear God's voice. Now, I'll be honest with you. I've never heard the audible voice of God.
Yeah.
I don't know many people that have audibly heard the voice of God. However, I do know and I feel, again, I just don't like the word feel because feel is an emotion and it's based within our bodies, which is human.
Yeah.
I have the assurance that an answer I was wanting, not the answer necessarily I wanted, but a answer came through somebody that God gave to them. I do believe that happens.
Yeah, and also another thing with the like the answer that's given to you, from what I've experienced, when you come up with the solution that God really wants for your life, you feel complete. Not like with your life, but you feel satisfied with the answer. You don't have any doubts, and it just feels right, like in your gut. Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Everyone goes through seasons of desert experience rather than the mountain high, mm-hmm. the Christian high. It's that period of dryness where you can't feel the presence of God. It's usually happening when we want to feel God
yeah.
in a situation more than ever within ourselves. And it's just a dry season. And just realize that it is a season. Just a thought that really struck it home for me. When we're going through those dry periods of life, where we're going through something that's been very difficult, think about this. The teacher is always silent during a test.
Wow.
Maybe God is allowing you to go through a test. And we talked about this in a previous episode. We go through difficult times in our life because that's when we grow. And maybe this season of desert that you're experiencing where you can't feel the presence of God is just that. He is allowing you to pass through that period mm-hmm. and allowing himself to be silent in a way, you know, not audibly again, but silent in the way that you feel him,
yeah.
I guess, is a good way of doing it, to build your faith and to build your level of trust. It's hard to trust in those periods where you don't feel God. If you can't feel God's presence, it may not be because something is wrong. It might be because something is very right.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
Good story here. This is a personal story. Before Jake was born, my wife and I lost two children to miscarriage. They happened about a year apart, and the second miscarriage, my wife had surgery the same day as my mother-in-law had surgery. My mother-in-law had heart disease and was a diabetic, and it had numerous heart attacks in her 40s. And was having surgery, an experimental surgery on her heart. Of course, when you have a heart attack, the heart is a muscle. And when you do have a heart attack, it can damage part of the muscle where the muscle is no longer functioning. And this was an experimental surgery. It was a trial surgery that she was approved for, where they use a laser and they poke holes in the dead muscle of the heart that was damaged. That allows the blood to flow through the dead part with those holes. Surgery was very difficult. She coded on the table. Her heart was in much worse shape than they thought it was. Needless to say, she survived the surgery. She was getting better, was in ICU for a couple weeks, got in out of ICU into her own room, literally the next day that she was in her homeroom, massive heart attack, and she was gone at 48, which is kind of crazy because I'm 48 today.
Mm-hmm.
And actually today she would have turned 70, which my wife and I were talking about this, which is just bizarre because we still remember her as 48. Now I'm 48. We have no concept of what she would be at 70. But after that happened, as you can imagine, miscarriage and then losing her mother, my wife went through a terrible season of dryness. It was a desert. And of course, I was affected by this as well. That desert period where you don't feel the presence of God. One of the things that they talk about when you don't feel the presence of God is your prayer life and to cry out to him in prayer. We'll get to some, you know, some pointers later in this discussion. But man, when you're in that situation, and my wife will tell you, she could not pray. She could not pray to God. She was angry at God and she was dealing with that depression. And for a year, she was depressed. She functioned as a human being during that year, which means she got up in the morning, she went to work, she came home from work, she went straight to the bedroom for a year. Again, I think we've mentioned in a previous episode, I'm a fixer, mm-hmm. you're a fixer.
Yep.
You want to fix things. Most men are like that. We like to fix things.
Yep.
Of course, I wanted to fix my wife mm-hmm. in that situation.
Yeah.
Could not do it. Wasn't going to be me to be able to do this. It was a very long year period. Finally came to the point where she had to seek professional Christian counseling and found a counselor, worked through her grief, and it's a lifelong process. So much so now that she has a degree in counseling and she loves counseling those who are experiencing loss and grief.
Yeah.
During that year, not only for her, but for me, that was definitely a dry period. That was a desert. That was not the Christian high at all. You did not feel the presence of God. I was serving in ministry. I had to step back. I had to say, you know what? I can't do this because I cannot minister to people because at this point in my life, I need to be ministered to.
Yeah.
And it's an important thing to realize that, you know, as we're recording this, and this might be another topic for another podcast, there was a pastor in California who just committed suicide this week, left three small children, and dealt with depression. And so that's another topic for another week. But those are dry seasons. We all experience, every one of us go through the desert. And we shouldn't blame God when it rains in our life. So instead of praying that God would take us out of the desert, we should pray that God would teach us while we're in that desert. You're listening to The Kitchen Table. We are a father-son podcast discussing faith, music, and culture.
Yeah, I remember when you guys told me that all that happened. And I just remember, even in the darkest of times, we still need to pray to God. But even in the high times, usually when you're in that positive, God is there, high on the Holy Ghost, like all of this stuff, you usually forget to pray. You usually don't thank God for all the gifts that he's given you. But when you're in that low, your first instinct is to pray. And so I always have I love a good reminder. So if any of you see me, just tell me, remind me to pray in the high times and the low times. I think that's an important thing that Christians really struggle with.
Well, a lot of times we allow things to get in the way of God, and that causes us to be preoccupied with the external things, and we don't spend time with him. What we do is we put things like relationships and jobs and money in front of our relationship with God. That doesn't help in that situation when it comes to feeling his presence. So some things that we can do, again, it's not a scale that you can say, oh, if I try harder to believe, then I'll feel the presence of God. No, that's not it. But there are some things we can do just in our daily walk that can help us feel the presence of God in our life. And just remember that feelings, that's an emotion. And an emotion is built on the five senses of our humanness, of our bodies. It's an emotional component through the thoughts that we have. Experiences are like videos and soundtracks to our life. And emotion is the way that we interpret the events outside of our lives. We interpret God through the experiences we've had, like in church and with others. You're listening to The Kitchen Table. We are a father-son podcast discussing faith, music, and culture. A lot of people, especially men who are not really emotional beings as much as women are, we don't have that emotion. I was talking to someone earlier today who's like, you know, when he came to Christ, there were tears. But in worship, he doesn't have tears, and he doesn't have that high emotional feeling. For a long time, he thought he was wrong. You know, he sees other people, and they're like weeping every service. How is this possible? But then he comes to realize that's not who he is. Man, he still feels the presence of God. He just doesn't react to it in that way.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
What can we do? First thing we do, check our hearts. Is there anything that's interrupting your connection with God? Have you been resisting anything that the Holy Spirit is trying to do in your own life? So check your hearts. Is your heart unclean? Get that right first. Don't just stay there. Remember, we've mentioned this before on this podcast. We are all on a journey. It's a spiritual journey where we are becoming more and more like Christ. And a spiritual journey is sort of like on the walking against the little automatic walkway at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop, what happens?
You go back.
You have to keep walking forward. And you're walking against a current, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Remember what he has done for you in the past. You're going through stuff. It increases your trust with someone, right? Well, that also includes God. Find ways to remember what he has already done in your life. You can do this by keeping a journal, notes in your Bible in the margins. Now, you don't want to rehash the dark stuff in life. A lot of people do that, and it doesn't go anywhere. The victory out of that dark is what you want to concentrate on. You want to go where God is. It's easy to get so busy in our relationships that we neglect God many times. Our relationship with God takes time. It takes a season of nurturing, an ongoing season of nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to take the time, you have to take the energy to do your part to enter his presence. What are you doing to take time?
So every morning I start with my devos. So
your devos?
My devotions.
Is that like
devos,
that slang?
It's the short term of it. But so I wake up, I'm gonna be honest, I sometimes forget, sometimes I'll wake up late or I'm just too tired to do it. I try and push myself, but then also at the end of the day I try and write down what I did today. I try to pick out things that were like kind of a God sighting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I try to pick out those, and I try to just, it's kind of, I'm writing a prayer down.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to see your prayer, because then you can look back on this journal and see that you were in a low point, or see you were in a high point. And when you're in the low point and you look back on the high points, it's kind of encouraging. It encourages you to push forward, to push through that hard time. When you're in a high point and you look back on the low points, it's rewarding because you can see that you came out of that. That's what I've been trying to work on.
It's good. Other places that you can go where God is, spend time in nature. He is our creator. Just get away by yourself. Sit under a tree. Here around campus, they do hammocks, just so you know.
Yeah, I know. I need to get mine.
Another thing you can do is don't neglect the importance of worshiping with other believers.
Yeah.
Now, no church is perfect. And as soon as you think you found the perfect church and you join, guess what? It's now become imperfect. Yep. Yeah, you've heard that before, probably. But just go where he is. Keep doing the last thing he told you. Do whatever you know to do and keep doing it until you get new orders from him. What do you mean? What new orders? How do I get new orders? Well, you just live with integrity. You treat others as Jesus would. You care for those that are closest to you.
Care for those who are not close to you.
Absolutely. Quote this week I just read, John Gordon. My faith says to love my neighbor. It doesn't say to love the neighbors that are just like me.
Bell.
Good thought.
Free plug. Where's our bell?
Oh, I forgot the bell. This also includes carrying on our mission as we understand it. Each one of us have a mission. Something else you can do, and this might sound simple and it might sound complicated all at the same time, but you have to choose to believe. Remember, your feelings, and again, we've mentioned feelings a lot. You feel God's presence. Your feelings do not determine whether or not God is with you. It's great. It's incredible when we feel his presence, yes. But it becomes a matter of spiritual maturity within each of us to maintain our faith even when we can't feel God's presence, when we're going through those dry times. Faith is not built on emotion.
Yeah.
Feeling God's presence does not have a scale of how good or bad of a Christian you are. Choose to believe regardless of your feelings.
Amen.
That's part of passing the test he has for you. Did you know that?
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table. We're a father-son podcast talking about faith, music, and culture.
You're probably saying, well, why doesn't God just remove the veil, cause me to experience him? That's what I want. I just want to experience God.
That'd be easy.
It would be easy, wasn't it?
It'd be too easy.
You know, we have power over what we think. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Philippians 4:8, you've probably heard this. Whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. That basically says we have the power over what we think.
Yeah.
So it's within us to have that level of faith, not experience necessarily that feeling, that emotion that God is present with us, but just understanding within ourselves that he is with us, even though we might not be able to feel him. Many times we're the ones that replace the distance between us and God. Some tips, don't panic, pray. And I know it's hard to do. I've shared the story of my wife and I when you're in that situation. So hard to pray. You might need to repent, you know, some behaviors, some thoughts, some actions. Spend time in his word. The Bible is your identity in Christ. Again, choose to believe God's word, even though you can't feel his presence. And most importantly, commit to change. If you're used to reading a chapter of the Bible every day, but you've stopped, commit to reading your Bible again. Change whatever is necessary in order to make the time to have that relationship, that presence of God during those times. When you spend time, feel that those times are valuable. Be persistent in all that we do. Keep trying. Don't give up. Music, man, we love music. Music's a part of this. Get alone with God. Listen to music.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to do. I like a combination of music and nature. So I'll go out, plug my headphones in, and just walk.
Whenever we have those dry spells, and honestly, spiritual warfare, the enemy likes to creep in during those dry spells because he knows we're vulnerable, and he'll spread a few lies here and there, and he'll try to isolate us from our faith family. That's the moment when we should run to God. So we have to remind ourselves when we're in one of those seasons, there are some important things to do. And I've mentioned several, but here's some more. Stay in community. Don't try to be a lone ranger. And that's probably what, you know, this Air Force friend that gave us our faith question for today, maybe he's feeling lonely. In fact, when I heard about his story and the question he had for our podcast, I asked, is there a chaplain that he can go to and talk about this? because obviously he's not feeling like he's part of a faith community. Mm-hmm. He needs to establish that.
Yeah.
You know, you've gone away to college perhaps and you don't have a faith community. You've joined the military, you don't have a faith community. You've got to find it. You've got to make the time and find that faith community. You cannot do this alone. Yeah. God didn't create us to do this alone. Intentionally surround yourselves with other brothers and sisters of the faith that can pray for you, that can encourage you, that can share their similar stories, because guess what? We all go through these dry times when we don't feel the presence of God. When you feel like praying the least, it's when you should be praying the most. Again, I shared our story about that. Be honest, be transparent, be real with God and others. Hey, you can be mad at God. You can scream at God. He can take it. We don't need to always have a smile.
Oh, that's so true.
It is. We can cry, we can yell, we can be frustrated. You know, the best part of that is God actually wants us to cast all of the stuff in our life on Him. You know, the Psalms, about 80% of the Psalms, because the Psalms were a lot of worship songs come from. Uh-huh. But about 80% of the Psalms are actually laments, where they're crying out to God, where they're upset. So amongst all that worship that's come out of that, that's only about 20% of the Psalms. 80% is the lament. So until we are fully transparent with God, we'll never feel the weight of burden and anxiety off of our shoulders. You want to feel the presence of God, there's some tips that can get you there. Mm-hmm. Final thought?
Everything you say is amazing. I'm not saying that as like biasness of your son, but no, I just...
And I didn't pay you to say that either.
I know. I think the whole thing you said about community and surrounding yourselves with Christian people who believe the same way and who can support you no matter what. With the whole transition of college, one of the big stresses that I was worried about was my friend group. The people who I spent a lot of time with, I found a great group. A lot of us were in marching bands, so we lived on campus for 3 weeks together. It's kind of weird because they're not your normal friends like in high school, because in high school you just go to class with them and you go home and you might hang out on the weekend. No, you're doing life with these people. You live on the same campus. You're living there. It's different, and I love it. I love all of them. If you're listening, Real Friends, that's our group chat name, Real Friends. I love you guys. Thank you for being awesome.
Okay, well, that closes out our faith question for today. Remember, if you have a faith question for us, you can always get a hold of us through several different ways. You can follow us on Twitter and tweet us a faith question. My Twitter account is Brian Utter.
I'm Utter_Butter99.
You can also be a part of the Kitchen Table Facebook group. Yeah, Facebook group. We're on the Shine.fm Chicago page. Ask to join the group, and we'll let you in. We let everybody in. So now it's time for some Music Matters. Okay, this is a time where we share music because we love music. I do a song that I found that's new that I think you'll like. You do one that you found. Mm-hmm. And then I'll pull one from...
The Oldie But Goldie.
The Oldie But Goldie from usually the 80s. We'll see. Okay, so the new one I found is brand new Tori Kelly.
Oh, she's like the one like secular Christian person.
She's a Christian.
Who's a secular artist.
Who is in mainstream music, but her music, I tell you what. In fact, this new album I'm super excited about. It doesn't come out until I think the 14th of September. It's called Hiding Place. That comes from, of course, Psalm 32:7. This album happened because she met with Kirk Franklin.
Really?
And she's a big fan of Kirk Franklin. They met together because he had written some songs that he thought would be great for her. And then they collaborated together. Kurt produced this album. So half the songs on the album, he wrote by himself. The other half of the songs, he and Tori wrote together. And so the song I'm going to share features Kirk Franklin on this one. He probably won't be in this clip because by law, we can only play a certain number of seconds. This song is called Never Alone. This is like a gospel choir backing her up in it, and Kirk is doing it as well. Incredible song. So again, here's Tori Kelly, Never Alone. But I know somebody calls me his own. I can hear heaven singing out. Oh, you're never alone.
I love her music. It's amazing. I cannot wait for that album,
I'm super excited for it. All right, what new do you have?
I kind of have a little backstory. So I started at college at Olivet Nazarene University.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding. Free plug, I guess. I'm in a ministry team.
Yeah.
I run sound for a ministry team. And so we've been having rehearsals for the past 2 days now that I've been to. Today, we had a rehearsal, and it's a rehearsal, so you're focused on the music. But I was doing sound, so I was just kind of listening and adjusting volumes. And they did a song. It's an amazing song, but it spoke new words to me. It is called Who You Say I Am by Hillsong Worship. It's just a song about finding your identity in Christ. I think that's a lot of hard things to do as Christians is to, we label ourselves like, I'm a football player, I'm a musician, I play the drums. We need to be reminded that we are a child of God. So here is Who You Say I Am by Hillsong Worship.
Such a great song. I love that song.
It's such
a... Oh. Yeah. Let's dig into the oldie but goldie bag.
Oldie but goldie.
Here we go.
What is it? Give it to me.
This is a song recorded in 1980. Stone Age, right? Actually, it's by an artist named David Meese. Probably his most popular song of his entire ministry. He still does music. It was like the number 20 song in 1981, even though the album came out in 1980. The album's called Are You Ready? David Meese was a child prodigy on the piano.
Really?
He could do like Mozart when he was a kid. In fact, he's a lot of piano-based songs on his albums. This song was, it's such a, one of those major songs in Christian music. It's been recorded by over 200 different artists. It's called We Are the Reason.
Oh, I might have not heard the original, but I've
but
heard
you know
it.
Some, yeah,
I know
remakes.
Someone who's covered it.
This is the original.
Okay, the OG slang.
I don't know what OG is.
It's like okay. The Ridge.
Okay.
The original.
Here's David Meese, We Are the Reason.
Yeah, I've always been the kind of guy that I like the original more than the remakes, but yeah. I'll hear the remakes first.
Yeah.
But I like it. That's good.
All right. Well, that's Music Matters. Time now to jump in some Culture Shock. Okay, Culture Shock this week. I'm not sure exactly why I picked this one, but I wanted to discuss about it. This week, you might have saw the tragedy that happened in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, the Madden tournament.
The Madden tournament, the video game tournament, and the guy lost, got upset. Now he's already been hospitalized for mental illness before in his life, which is a horrible thing, and we need to really understand mental illness. It's a serious issue in our society. Yeah. But I want to talk about video games because for the past, I don't know, year, there's been a video game that's just gone. How long has it been going on?
The game has been going for like a few years now.
Okay.
But it's gotten a lot of popularity in the past year, yeah.
It's called Fortnite.
Insert eye roll. Ugh. Fortnite, I can see why people like it. It's a game of its own. I don't get the obsession with it.
Well, I just can't understand how the guy who created this game makes $5 million a day off of this game.
Are you thinking of Ninja, the Twitch?
No. This is okay. Fortnite. Fortnite is a free game.
It is.
Yet he makes $5 million every day off
of it. It's because of those, they have like season passes, and so you have to buy it. They're called V-Bucks. If you get 500 V-Bucks, you can buy the season pass, and then you can get like costumes and like upgrades and all, yada, yada, yada.
That's what he talked about.
And you can buy like the costumes if you buy V-Bucks, and then it's just an endless thing. I have a friend who's in high school. He's an acquaintance. He's not a friend. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
He's spent over $500 on Fortnite.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even have a job. Like, I'm like, where do you get this money?
Mom and dad.
Yeah, I know. And I do not get it.
Why the obsession? It's a free game.
Yes.
Apparently, it's time limited and it's winnable.
It is. I've won once.
Doesn't take hours and hours for a winner to emerge. And it can be won by anybody, an average player.
Yeah, it can.
Like you said, the pitfalls of this thing, players can buy items that enhance the game. See, we had this with our 8-year-old, not for this game specifically.
Roblox.
And next thing you know, we have $100 that was purchased for little things you add to these games, even though these games are, quote, free. Children tend to be impulsive, my 8-year-old especially. And so they have no idea that this, you know, there's a credit card attached to this account, which now we have to, us parents learn afterthought that we have to change security settings so those kinds of things don't happen. There are pitfalls. This can result in obsessive play.
Yeah.
Hours and hours and hours trying to win this thing. And then something else has happened, and my 8-year-old at this moment wants to, this is his career goal. He wants to be a gaming celebrity.
No.
because he watches YouTube videos of these games being played so he can learn how to better play these games.
I mean, I don't blame him because some of these gamers are making... I mean, Ninja, he's the number one Fortnite player right now.
Well, he watches Hello Neighbor, and there's a kid that does the video. I mean, the kid's playing, and the kid's like maybe a year or two older than Michael, if not the same age.
I watched it with him once.
Every one of these episodes have millions of views, and guess what? When you have a YouTube channel and you've got millions of views, you get a check.
Yeah, you do.
You make some serious money from the ads that are sold on these videos from YouTube. It's just crazy. Remember that Fortnite is rated T for teens. A lot of parents don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, in fact, I think a lot of parents don't acknowledge the fact that it's a shooting game.
Yeah.
But I think they get distracted that, oh, it's a cartoon. It's not like Call of Duty where it's realistic.
It doesn't matter.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Well, they say that most people that play Fortnite are 8 to 12-year-olds.
Yeah, I can believe that. I played with a little kid in my squad once.
So why we're talking about this, setting limits, striking a balance, I'm going to sound like the parent right now, I know. Parent has to ask these questions. I'm talking to you, parents. Is the game age appropriate? Stick to the rating. Smart people came up with these ratings for a reason. Are you okay with the content, including the graphics and the objectives of the game? That means you have to actually see the game. Maybe you haven't attempted to play the game so you can see if it's appropriate or not for your kids.
Have you tried to play Fortnite?
I haven't. I should. See, I'm giving myself
advice
here.
Can I please watch that game? I want to see this.
How long and how often will your child be engaged in play? 1 hour a day max on devices.
Yeah.
That's our rule. 1 hour a day. And a lot of times he has to earn that hour. We do a thing with our youngest Michael called Michael Bucks. So if he makes good decisions and does something he's asked to do right away without complaining or arguing, he earns a Michael Buck, which is 10 minutes. And he can earn up to an hour's worth of playtime on devices. With whom are they engaging? This is an important thing. We did not know about the chat features on these games, and Michael is starting to talk to people on this game, and we found out about it, and we're like, whoa, 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 no, this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You have no idea who you're talking to.
Yeah.
These could be predators. 8 to 12-year-olds are playing these games. These could be predators. They have no idea who it is. So we immediately, again, the preferences, you can shut down the chat functions on those. So just remember that. Keep the devices, you know, make sure you control your devices. Make sure they're in a specific room. Do not allow them to take them to their own bedroom, because guess what? They'll make up in the middle of the night. They're going to be playing. Parents, it's important to realize that other parents are your best resource. Take time to discuss concerns and considerations with other parents about games. Clearly, Fortnite's a phenomenon. This guy's made billions of dollars off this thing. But you also have to realize that our job as parents is we have to be better equipped to negotiate this complicated world in which we find ourselves in parenting, and that has to do with devices and gaming and all those kinds of things. Yeah. So, did I sound like a grouchy old parent?
The sad thing is I'm 18 and I completely agree with you.
Good.
I mean, I will play an occasional game of Fortnite. I'm not obsessed with it. I don't spend hours and money and all that stuff on Fortnite.
Well, since classes start tomorrow and you don't have time to do gaming anymore.
Yeah.
Textbooks, papers, assignments.
I know.
Just a friendly reminder from your dad.
I know. Thank you, Dad.
All right, that's Culture Shock. Well, thanks so much for spending some time with us today, and we do appreciate you listening each and every week. If you're just listening to this one for the first time, hey, subscribe. We do this every week. We try our best to get it to roll out Wednesday night, overnight, early Wednesday morning, rather. We will have another faith question for you next week. If you have a faith question you'd like to share with us, again, you can contact us on the Kitchen Table Facebook group. It's on the Shine.fm Chicago page. You can also send us a tweet and let us know what you'd like to discuss. The Twitter account for me is Brian Utter.
And then Utter_Butter99.
Again, thank you so much for tuning in. We love doing it each and every week. We hope it's a benefit to you as parents and as children of parents. Children, even though you might be a teenager or young adult. Yeah. You know what I mean. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to The Kitchen Table on the Shine.fm Podcast Network from Olivet Nazarene University. Be sure to subscribe for more content delivered each week on faith, music, and culture.